All right, did everyone get one of these? Did anybody need one still? Paper that's in here. All right, hand that to you. Follow along with us this evening. Okay. Here, I'll give you an extra one in case somebody else comes up there. All right, John chapter 15. We're going to continue on with our study. We've been listening to, I was listening to Brother Ferguson this week. Some, and so he's got all sorts of statements and or sayings that he does. One of them's, hallelujah, praise the Lord, shame on the devil. He likes to say that one over and over, which is good. But hallelujah and praise the Lord are the same thing. Did you know that? Those are the same words, actually, in the Hebrew. But that's okay. He has an amen. He does this as an amen. It's amen. Amen. And he's definitely keeps your attention. So we listen to him and listen to some of course, always Brother Davis. He's always a blessing. I enjoy listening to his. And I always, you know, you wouldn't call him a hard preacher. He's not one of these hard preachers, but I always leave going, oh man, Lord, I need help. I'm not doing it I should. Lord, I need your help there. I always feel convicted that way, but those are good. Those are good things. Look forward to hearing them. The man camp coming up, and look forward to catching up with, I didn't really know him that well, Brother Ferguson. I meet him every once in a while at some events. He was a little bit younger than I was, but I look forward to getting to talk with him and getting to know him some. So, before we get into this tonight, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Then we'll review very quickly and jump into the lesson this evening. Lord, we love you. We do pray that you would meet with us tonight. And I do pray that you would use this lesson and to work in each one of our hearts, Lord, to give us that hope that we need, to give us that encouragement that we need, but also to challenge us to love one another and to love you as we should. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Here we are in John 15. Of course, we've been talking about the idea of let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled, as he said in John 14. He began there. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. So we have that hope, the promise of heaven. We have the promise of peace that God offers. My peace, he says, I give you not as this world gives, but my peace that comes through him. We have that hope then of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Last week we were continuing with the vine. We abide in Christ and the picture that it exemplifies. He is the vine. We are the branches, and we're to bear fruit for him. Then we saw the love that God has for us, the true love. And as I look at this, we often hear that, and I titled this, The True Love. The True Love. You hear that term, oh, I'm in love, or it's true love, you know, and you hear all the emotion. What's it all based on? It's all based on emotional feeling and all those things there. No, that's not true love. That's emotions. Now, emotions definitely come along with it. I'm not saying they're separate from one another, but Christ is definitely the example. God is the example of true love. The love examined, we began last week by talking about the love of God. The love of God. God is the epitome and the very essence of love. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. We know that God loved his Son. And his Son, he showed an everlasting love displayed from the very beginning with his Son. Of course, the three are one in the Trinity, that idea. But he displayed that in the earthly form as Christ was here on the Mount of Transfiguration at his baptism. We reviewed those things. We talked about those last week. But of course, God manifested his love towards us. God manifested his love towards us in the fact that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There was an atheist one time that was trying to scoff God, and he said, if God truly exists, I challenge him to strike me dead within the next 5 minutes. And of course, after 5 minutes had passed, he boasted that to those around him, what did I tell you? Where is that God? How comes I'm still alive? Well, a woman nearby asked him, sir, do you have any children? He scoffed and said, well, yes. Why? She said, if one of them brought you a knife and said, Daddy, kill me, would you do it? Well, of course not. That would be absurd. I love them too much. And she meekly and quietly said, that is why a loving God will not respond to such a foolish question or a foolish challenge. In Romans chapter 5, it tells us there in verses 7 and 8, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that brings us then into the love of Christ. The love of Christ that he has. So the first one, if you're filling in the blanks, the love examined, we have the love of God, which we went through last week. But now we see, secondly, the love of the Son. So the love of the Father and the love of the Son. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19 tells us, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Here we are in John chapter 15. We'll go ahead and start there in verse number 9, John chapter 15. Starting there in verse number 9. As soon as I find my place, John 15 says in verse 9, and as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. That ye love one another. So we see the essence there at the beginning. He says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. We saw the love of the Father. We saw the love that Christ has here. As we look at this, he says, continue ye in my love. Of course, Jesus exemplified this as he had his love towards his Father. In John 14, back a chapter there in verse number 31, John 14, it says in verse 31, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. He shows his love toward the Father in what way? How does he show this? It was displayed then in his humility and his humbling himself and his submission and obedience to the Father. Philippians chapter 2, of course, when he says he humbled himself and became of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, the commandment that his Father had given that he would die in our place. Of course, he humbled himself and he was submissive and obedient to his Father. And that displayed and showed outwardly then his love. But of course, his love towards us as well. His love towards us, as we said in Romans 5:8 before, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. His love is displayed in his sacrifice for us. 1 John chapter 3, keep your finger here in John 14, but of course, the same author, through the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote the book of 1 John, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, in the book of John, but 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. I find that interesting, John 3:16. You know, of course, God's love, but here also it talks about the love of God. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And I see the continuation of that. John 3:16 tells us of the love of Jesus Christ, that he had so much that the Father loved us, he gave his only begotten Son, what God did for us. But then 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 says, there's the love of God once again, but now you are displayed in this. You are seen. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And how we continue then this love that God has shown us. You know, if we think about love, we think about the human picture of love. I don't think there's a greater picture of human love in the human comprehension than a mother's love, than a mother's love for a child. You know, there's a story told back during the California Gold Rush, and a husband had left his wife and his child in New England to go strike it rich, and he said, I'm going to keep in touch and do these things, and as soon as I make it, I'm going to send for you guys. And he finally did make it after a long time, so they excitedly got on board of a Pacific steamer, and were going to head around to meet up with him in San Francisco. While they were out in the ocean, though, unfortunately, the cry went up that there was a fire on board. Fire! Fire rang throughout, and people began to scramble, and they began to get to the lifeboats because they found out, the word spread, that there was a magazine of gunpowder on board that was going to explode, and they couldn't stop it. It was getting out of hand. Well, as they were going out there, many of people had gone into the lifeboats, and as normal, there weren't enough lifeboats for everyone. They were casting away, and this mother took her son, and they went, and she pleaded with them to stop, and they said, no, we can't take any more. We can't take any more. We're going to sink. We can't take any more. And she pleaded with them, at least take my boy. And finally, they consented, and she sent down her boy and stayed on board. You think, you know, you can't imagine, would a mother have ever jumped in the boat and left her son, left her child there? No, she didn't. And as she sent him away, she dropped him over into the boat and said, my boy, if you live to see your father, tell him that I died in your place. Tell him that I died in your place. Of course, this is just a faint picture of what Christ has done for us. He laid down his life for us. He died that we might live. Now, can you imagine that same son if he would go out and speak poorly of his mother? There was a story told one time of a mother that her daughter was in a fire when she was a baby. And she went in and she rescued her daughter at great cost to herself. In fact, it scarred her for life. Her face was scarred because of the flames and the fire. And she did all that for her daughter and to do that. But as her daughter got older, one day she was with her friends there, and they were out and they saw this woman that was all scarred up, and they began to make fun of her. And the girl was too ashamed to say, that's my mom. And she made fun along with her friends. And how that would hurt to see that. And how sometimes we do that to our Father. We may not make fun, but we are embarrassed. We're quiet. We don't want to... Think of the great love that Christ displayed to us. What he gave for us. He did all these things for us. Would we speak contemptuously of our Father, of our Savior, Jesus Christ? Boy, that love drives us. That love compels us to live for him. His love is not only displayed in his sacrifice towards us, though. Secondly, his love is displayed then in his intercession for us. His intercession for us. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it tells us, wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He makes intercession for those that denied him, for those that were the ones that put him on that cross. If they would repent and turn from their sin, he is there to intercede on their behalf. He is there as our intercessor. So the love of the Father. But this love, I want to focus tonight in our study, the time that we have. I want to see, how can we exemplify and live out this love? Well, the first thing he tells us then, the love commanded, going back to John chapter 15, hopefully I can point out some things that were a blessing to me and a challenge to me as we think about this. And once again, I bring our attention back to the fact that it's, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Why? Because we have this hope in God. We know that he is the source of our strength, as we see in the vine and abiding in him. But Let not your heart be troubled. We have a faithful, faithful friend. We have a faithful Savior. We have a faithful Father who will love us to the very end. He'll love us faithfully. And we see that back in Luke. No, how about John? John 15. John 15 again. He tells us then in John 15, he says, continue, the last part of verse number 9, continue ye in my love. Continue ye in my love. We are to continue in his love. If you're filling out the blank, that's letter A there. Continue in his love. Abide in the love that belongs to him. Continue ye. The reason which he gives for their doing this is the strength of the love which he had shown for them. His love was so great for them that he was about to lay down his life, even with the foreknowledge that they would all forsake him. This constitutes a strong reason why we should continue in his love. We can see that faithfulness, the faithfulness that he had. There was a very unusual military funeral in California in December of 2013. Sergeant First Class Joseph Gantz, who fought in both World War II and the Korean War, was laid to rest. He had been captured in Korea in 1950 and died the following year. But his body was not returned for many years, and his death was never confirmed by the North Koreans. His wife, Clara, waited for decades for her husband to come back. Over half a century, she waited. She regularly went to meetings with government officials seeking information about what had happened. Clara even bought a house, had it all made and ready for him when he returned. So all he'd have to do when he came home was go fishing. She wanted that to be all he needed to do. She was 94 years old when his remains were finally brought home for a military funeral with full honors. Of course, it wasn't the homecoming she had dreamed of, but she finally knew his fate. Clara told a reporter, though, who interviewed her, "He told me if anything happened to him, he wanted me to remarry. And I told him, no, no, I am your wife. I will always remain your wife until the day the Lord calls me home." Love, true godly love, is not temporary. Love is a commitment that is meant to last. Love is not always based on things going right or going our way. It's not based on the emotions that follow with it, but rather it's a choice of the will. It's a choice of the will. Casual commitments do not produce a foundation for deep and meaningful relationships. Instead, we should love others as God loves us. An unfailing love that never ends. What an example we see there, that love that transcends the years, that continues on faithfulness without hope sometimes. But we can rest confident in this fact. We know that he will never fail us. We know because of the love that he has, it is a love that is unchanging. We rest confident in his love. We have confidence in his love. We can continue in his love because there's a couple things we know about his love. Number one, we know his love, which he shows for us, is unchanging. His love is unchanging. If you would, with a moment, think with me back to the disciples that were there. Here are the disciples. They're there. They met in the upper room. They're getting ready to go. Jesus knows what they are going to do. In fact, he tells them that, "You all are going to forsake me tonight," as he goes through the greatest trial that man could possibly take. Not only was it the physical pain that he was going to endure, it was the emotional pain of taking upon him the sins of the world, the guilt, the pain that associated with that is more than we can comprehend. As he took that guilt and also to have say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" To have all those things coming on him and to know his disciples would leave him, to know they would depart from him in his most needy hour. Yet, do you think his love changed for them? No. He still loved them. He still loved them with the very same love. His love for them was the very same. When Peter denied him three times, when Peter says, "I know not the man," and that third time the cock crew, and also, and in one of the passages it says, and Jesus looked on him. He saw him. He knew what he said. And of course, that brought Peter back to the full reality of what he had just done. But he looked at him. I imagine there was compassion in his eyes. And he looked on Peter. "Yes, you've betrayed me, but I still love you. But I love you. and I'm going to die for you, as I'm getting ready to do right now. Those were the words that were spoken through his eyes as he looked out over him. And we think about that. His love never changes. He's faithful. As unfaithful as we are. As we look here in John 15, he tells us this. We are to continue in his love. He says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, this idea of abiding in his love, we get this idea that, well, I've fallen out of love for God. And we can. We can step out of that idea from our perspective, from our part of it. But God's love is shed abroad for us. And by abiding in it, his love is always there. It's us that step out of it or want to step away from that idea. He says, it's there for you. Just as the prodigal son who left the father. The father never stopped loving his son. He said, I'm here waiting for you to return. And that's what he means by abiding in his love. Abiding in that presence of his love. He says, we know it's faithful. It's unchanging. It is the love, then, he describes here, of a best of our best friend. Love whose strength was expressed by toils and the groans in the garden there and the blood that was shed. You see there in verse 13, as he talked about this, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. He says, I'm your friend. I'll remain faithful. Will you be my friend? Will you continue in these things? He says, I know you'll go away. He knows that. He says, I know you're going to go away, but I'm still going to be there. I'm faithful. I'm going to be here. I'm a faithful friend, a faithful friend. Then you see in verse 11, in chapter 15, John 15, there in verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. He says, my joy, my love, it's present there for you. I want you to abide in my love. I want you to abide in my joy. Now, you can step out of it. It's still here for you, but you're the one missing out. You're the one losing out on here. And I think Peter is such an example of that. When Peter, the guilt that came on Peter, oh, man, can you imagine? Put yourself in Peter's shoes. You deny him. You see him suffering. You see that all he's going through. And you selfishly say, I know not the man after all he's done for you. And then he looks on you and you go out and you weep bitterly. And you think, how can he ever love me? How can he ever forgive me? And then you go back and he sees him again. And that first time he comes to me, he says, Peter, lovest thou me? Because Peter, you know, I love you. You know I love you, but now, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Feed my sheep. I've got a task for you. I've got a work for you. I've got something for you to do. Three times he tells him that. And Peter was grieved. Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He says, oh, Peter, you know, I know you do. And I know what I have for you, Peter. I have better things for you. In fact, Peter, wait till you see all the things you're going to be able to do. And that Peter that denied him would boldly stand over 30 days, 30 plus days later, 40 days later, he would stand there at Pentecost and preach boldly the gospel and profess Christ before the multitudes there. The same crowd, many of the same crowd that had crucified his Savior, he could speak boldly because he was back in the love of God. Not that God stopped loving him. I want to make that point. I know I've said it over and over. I want to make that point. God never stopped loving him. God never stops loving us. It's us that step away, and we're not abiding in his love. We step away, and we get out of it. And what happens? We lose our joy. He never stops giving that joy to us. It's there. It's available for us to have. His love is there. It's available for us to have. But we step away. We can't feel that presence. We don't have those things when we step into our sin and we step away from him. And we don't do those things. He says, abide in my love. And this love, lastly then, is to be reciprocated. It's to be brought out to others. 1 John chapter 2, he tells us there in verse number 5. 1 John 2 verse 5, it says, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Whoso keepeth his word, the love of God is perfected in him. The love of God perfected. I thought on that, you know, what does that mean? The love of God perfected. We begin to understand just how much God did for us. We understand the position that we are in Christ. God loves me, regardless, really, of what I have done. God loved me so much he gave his son for the entire world. He gave it for all. He did that for us. He loves us. But what am I to do with that? And as that love's perfected in us, what can we do? We share it with others. We begin to share that love with others. And we begin to give with others. And that's why he said, secondly, we are then, capital letter B, to exemplify his love. Exemplify. Exemplify his love. If ye love me, keep my commandments. We see that in verses 12 through 16. What is his commandment? This is my commandment, that ye love one another. He tells us that, going back, John 14, verse 15, he says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. There the command is given. We see what that command consists of. This is my commandment, verse 12, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. He says, this is the way you keep my commandments. Love one another. Loving God and loving one another go hand in hand with bearing fruit. What he says there, that ye should go forth and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. He says, that's what it is. As you love God, you love one another, you're keeping my commandments. That is what is bearing fruit. That's how it's shown out in your life. I like this idea of how it's pointed out here. We are to love one another. Now, this was an old commandment and a new commandment. What do I mean by that? Well, I think in order to understand it, let's look at 2 John verses 5 and 6. If you would, keep your finger there in John. But look at what it says here in this verse, 2 John verses 5 and 6. 2 John verses 5 and 6. He says, and now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. This isn't a new command. It's an old command. The old command is to love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. So what are we to do? He says, love one another. That's the old command. Now, I like this, though. We see there's the old command. That's what we've been given. But now we go back to John again. In John chapter 13, verse 34. Look at this. John 13, verse 34. John 13, 34. A new commandment I give unto you. So we had the old commandment that we're to love one another. That's pretty straightforward. That's simple. Love one another. But look at this. The new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Ooh. Wow. That's deep. That is a deep love. That ye also love one another. This is the new commandment. Love as I loved. Love sacrificially. I was telling you, I listened to Brother Davis and listened to his preaching. He was talking about leadership, which he was talking about how we use our authority as parents. And basically, the authority that we have, we're domineering, we're controlling different things. But what was Jesus' example? He was, of course, the leader. But how did he show his leadership? By serving. He was a servant. And how do we show our love? By serving one another. How do we show our love? By caring and giving towards one another. 1 John 3:16 again, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. The conclusion of this, when we look at this idea of love, God is the epitome and the essence of love. He has given us the command to love one another. In and of ourselves, we're incapable of doing that. How do we do that? We have Christ abiding in us. We are abiding in His love. And when we abide in His love, that enables us to share that love with others. Because it's not ours. It's His love. It's God's love. Herein lies our hope. There's our hope. First of all, we have confidence that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. His love is continuing. We never have to worry about that. Let not your heart be troubled, right? Let not your heart be troubled. We have the love of God. We have a loving Father that loves us so much, and He'll never change. That never change. We have the assurance that He'll never leave us or never forsake us. When we go astray, He's there to bring us back. When we fall, He's there to pick us up. But we know when we fail Him, we know in return He'll never fail us. He's continual. But we also then have the confidence that as we abide in Him, we can then love as He loved. We can love one another. It's only through abiding in Him. And with that, that's the challenge this evening. God, is God's love abiding in us? Are we abiding in His love? And thus, are we loving? Are we thinking of others? Are we thinking about their needs? Are we caring for one another? Are we sacrificing? Are we doing these things for our, you know, for those that we love? Do we care enough about others to tell them about the gospel, to tell them about the Lord? Or do we love ourselves too much? And sometimes we say, I love myself too much. I'm afraid what they might think. I'm afraid they might not like me. Doesn't matter. God loved me so much, I can't help but share this with you. That's the goal that we have. So then we think about that. Next week, we'll finish up with this study. I believe I'll be speaking one more week, and we're going to look at how, you know, now this doesn't sound like it, but we'll find the hope in it. The world will hate you. Now, that doesn't sound like something that's going to help our hearts very well. Let not your heart be troubled. And that's what he continues on there. But he does. He ends with hope. And that's what Christ always did. He always ended with hope. He always ends with hope. And the hope lies in him. And that's where we always have to look back to. When everything looks hopeless and everything looks dark, what do we look at? We look at Christ. And we're abiding in him. And now we look at the love that he has for us. A loving heavenly Father. We have him. We have hope. We have hope.